Father, we just praise and thank you for today, Lord. We come together and your presence is with us. Your Spirit, Lord, minister to us life, healing, and strength. We just praise and thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Now we come to your word. Lord, just let it minister to our hearts, that we may be able to hear it, that we may be able to receive it in our hearts, Lord, and we may be able to be transformed by your power, your anointing, and your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You know, the series that we are dealing with, you know, 2020 vision, really, we are talking about spiritual vision here. We are talking about being able to see things in the spirit that we cannot see with our eyes, the physical eyes, but we should be able to see it with our spiritual eyes. You know, and I've been finding out that many scriptures that have been so familiar for many years, you know, that I've been using all the time, suddenly they take a new dimension. You know, words that I've seen before thousands of times, suddenly they mean so much more than they meant before. And that's revelation. See, that's when you get revelation and suddenly you see stuff that was in front of your nose for such a long time. But you got something, but you didn't get that new things that you're getting. You know, and I hope that I can communicate that as I'm preaching, because as sharing the word. And because it's not, you see, it's not easy to see these things. It's not, you don't see them through your mind. You have to receive them through your heart. And when that happens, then things start to change. It's just as simple as that. You know, better go to preach what I prepared here. Otherwise, I'm going to go off a tangent here. But, you know, the thing is, it's so important that we actually get revelation, get understanding from the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who wrote the word. And he's the one that has to open it to us. We have to receive it. So it's very important. You know, the Proverbs that we start at the beginning, Proverbs 29:18, you know, where there is no vision, you know, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. You know, the thing is, to really, the word vision there is interesting, because it's really not, is seeing with your heart and not with your mind. Be able to perceive with your heart, have revelations. And you can get that in many different ways. But really, it's from the word that suddenly becomes real and alive. We're going to see some scriptures, and I'm going to connect this, you know. Really, we have to connect, okay, your belief and your faith working in you with your word to give you understanding and to be able, for you to be able to see, actually seeing what you cannot see with your eyes. So, you know, many talks about blind faith, you know, and really it's the most wrong type of a statement that you can make. Because if it's faith, blind is not faith. See, faith always see very clearly. And the clearer you see, the more the faith is operating. Amen. You know, if you don't see the answer, you are not in faith. So, you know, the idea is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we read already, but I had to go through these things because I want to get deeper. Okay, it says we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, there is talking about not walking by sight physically, but it's not that we are not walking by sight. It's the physical sight that is not becoming, that can be an entrance, because often we, the carnal man, tend to operate according to their senses. But there are the spiritual senses that we have that correspond to the physical senses that are there, that they have to operate for us to be able to walk in the spirit. If we don't have spiritual senses to see the things in the spirit, we cannot walk in the spirit. Hallelujah. You see, if you walk physically, we need to be able to see where we are going. Otherwise, we can go anywhere. Not only that, but, you know, there is more than that. Okay? If we want to get someplace, we have to know where we want to go. Because otherwise, we cannot get there. That we get exactly where we are planning to go, which is nowhere. So we have to know the destination that we have. This is true physically if you had to go to Montreal or Toronto or any other places. If you don't know where you're going, you know, and you go in the street and say, I'm going to go someplace, you're going to get someplace. Hello? I mean, that seems logical. I mean, we do that naturally. The thing is exactly the same thing spiritually, and most people don't do that spiritually because they don't have a vision of where they have to be. We need to understand that the parallel between the physical and the spiritual is strong in that case. We need to see our destination, where God wants to bring us to be able to get there. Otherwise, we are never going to get there because we have no goal. We have no direction. And the direction is important. The direction is what makes everything. Even in the world of business, they understand that. And is they really, you know, they actually, they got it from the Word. You know, if you really see many of the ideas that they presently are used for, you know, being successful in the world, they actually come from the Word. Amen. And you can see that, you know, if you see different cultures and see the progress the culture that based on Christianity had in the past compared to the other ones, they were not based on the same principles. And this is the reason why, you know, Christian culture produces the results, you know, advances much more than anywhere else. Amen. Because the approach, the principle according to which they operated, weren't the same. And the principle that guides your life makes all the difference. You know, you can have principles that you think are Christian principles, they're wrong. Unfortunately. And they make, instead of helping you, they're going to hinder you. They're going to make you slow down. They're going to get you nowhere. I'm going to show some of them maybe. So you can see that the way God thinks is the way we had to learn to think. And the way God works and operates is the way we need to learn to operate. We were made in the image of God, says at the beginning. And that means that we had to learn to operate the way He operated. We had to learn to line up ourselves with the intention that He put in us, not any ideas that we get. Because this is the most effective and the most productive way that we can operate. You know, in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 says, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do as do all that pleases me. See, declaring the end from the beginning. This is really the key and what God has been doing from the beginning. He knew what he wanted to achieve, the goal. And he was declaring at the beginning, he said, okay, he was prophesying, it's more than that. He has a clear vision of where he wants us to go, where he wants us to operate. And they, see, this is actually, that's planning. All right? That is planning. And actually, it's the only planning that works. See, if you get caught up in the plan itself, often you start in a direction and you find out that you go in the wrong place, get in the wrong place because you are caught up by the steps. What is important is for you instead to see the end, so that when you go along and there are things that happen that you didn't calculate, that didn't think about it before, and they mess up your plan, you don't know anymore what to do. But if you know where you're going, you automatically are redirected in the, and then the next step is going to get closer to the end instead of going somewhere else. So you see, the intermediate steps are not the critical. What is critical is for you to have a vision of where you're going. Amen. Are you following me? So when we have this vision and keeps us, see, that keeps motivated us. You know, we are not get lost into the detail. It's so easy to get lost into the detail. If you have, especially if you are a person that looks at very much at detail, because in that case, what happens is that you get lost in the forest. You need the compass to guide you, motivate you to get moving and to get to the place where God wants you to be. And that place is not something that you can see with your eyes in the physical, but you have to be able to see it with your eyes that are your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart. We're going to talk about that because, you know, that spiritual vision, the spiritual ability to see things is critical for our progress spiritually and development, to be able to do what God wants us to do. The enemy is going to throw stuff, wrenches in your wheels all the time, to try to slow you down and to try to divert you and to try to get you caught up into things. And so the only time when you are really looking at the end, then you can, you know, you realize, well, this is, I'm wasting my time, and you let go of the stuff that is unnecessary. Amen. But you had to have that vision, and you had to, you know, and for that reason, you had to develop the ability to see in the spirit. This is what God wants. This is what you're saying there, that we are not walking by faith and not by sight. Because faith, actually I should say the other way. And this is really the concept I want to get to you across today. Your vision is your faith. This is what actually, you see, you want to see how much faith you have? How clear is your vision? Because if you are not clear, you cannot have faith to believe God to take you there. You know, lots of people think, you know, if they need something and they are specific, you know, maybe that they make it difficult for God to do it. No, you cannot have faith if you don't know exactly what you want. Nothing is impossible with God. Your thinking is limited. Hello? All right. See, I want to get there. You know, we had to see that the way God works. I mean, the enemy tries to throw all the stuff. Look at what the happens in the world. People say, you know, is God doing these things? It's stupid thing to think about. God doesn't do this. The things that's in the world is a mess. So the enemy tries to do everything he can to hinder God's plan. But God's plan is based on his vision. He sees very clearly what's going to happen, and it's going to happen if you like it or not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We win. Amen. That's at the end of the story. So you see, but we have to learn to operate the same way. You know, this is actually backward planning. You know, you start from the beginning, you know where you're going, and then you plan all the things that need to happen so that you get there. You know, if you want to go to Toronto, you know the next city that is between you and Toronto, you know, starting from Toronto where you have to go. You know, if the door is blocked, you know, if the road is blocked or something, doesn't matter, you know where you're going. Right. You are not there stuck saying, you know, what am I going to do now? Praise God. Hallelujah. Same thing spiritually. You know, I know lots of Pentecostals, for example, and you know, I'm Pentecostal myself, but they think that to be led by the Spirit, you had to, you can't plan. Sorry. If you don't plan, you get nowhere. You need to plan according to God's way. You have to know where you're going. Otherwise, you cannot get anywhere. Otherwise, you cannot have faith. See, the problem with not planning is that you, moment by moment, you're looking at the circumstances you're in. And they're going to dictate the things you're going to do because they keep your attention. When instead your attention should be on where you're going, not the things that are around there. See, this is what is called circumstantial theology. You know, the theology that is based, you know, God is doing that because this is happening. Nonsense. It's not God doing what is happening around here. It's the wrong understanding of God's sovereignty. This is not God's work. It's the enemy work. Because the world is in a state of corruption. And our job is to change that. Not to go with the flow, but with the things that are happening for the least resistance. The way is for us to change the world. Many don't understand that. And this is important for us to know that our job is to bring about change. That was the way it was at the beginning of the church. This is the way it's going to be at the end too. Amen. And not to be the world influencing us, but us influencing them, because we are transformed by what? By the Word. The Word changing us. You know, chapter 12, you know, they're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. By what? By being exposed to the Word, so that the Word can change the way we think. And we are not influenced by the way thinking of the world, but we are influencing the world by the things the way we think, because it produces results. So this is really the thing that we had to grasp on and to be able to start implementing. But to implement it, we need to get the visions. And not just general visions, our personal vision. What our part is in doing that. What can we do tomorrow, and what our final destination is. But even now, what we can do given where we are at today. But without getting off a tangent, just moving into the direction that God wants us to go. Hallelujah. So, you see, let's take it from another angle. Everything that you want to build, everything that you want to do, you have to know what you're doing, otherwise you cannot do it. If you want to build a house, you need a blueprint. If you want to build a gadget or a machinery or something, you have to design the thing before, and you have to be able to what? See it. See it physically? No, it's not there. So you see, you have to see it in your heart. You have to create the thing within yourself, and only what you have already created inside, you can create outside. You cannot change the things around you if you haven't changed the things you see to them. So this is, we had to allow that to take place, and we had to, if you want, learn to see things in our heart without being influenced by the things that we see around us. You know, we don't need to focus on the mess that we are surrounded by. Because otherwise, see, the thing, the principle that we have to understand and realize what we focus on, we give power. So we have to focus on God's power, on God's plan, on God's words, and spend time on there. So that they start allowing us to have eyes that we see things from a different perspective, because otherwise we are going to be sucked in the way everybody else thinks. We should be not conformed to the world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the operation of the word.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Now this is going against current. It's not going with the flow. Okay, I mean, even, you know, even a dead fish go with the flow. Hello? Doesn't get anywhere. It's dead. All right. So, one of the thing, important things that we have to understand about faith, okay, is the faith must see the results to produce it. If you want to be healed, you have to see yourself healed. Amen. Before you get healed. And you have to believe that more than the one you can see and feel with your body.
Yes.
If you want to minister to somebody that is sick, you have to see that person heal before they are healed, because otherwise you cannot help them. Hello?
Amen.
So we have to be able to start seeing things in our heart that are not the things that we can see with our eyes.
Amen.
And we have to believe in the things that we see with our heart more than what we believe with the things that we believe in our eyes, because otherwise nothing is going to change. Now, this is so important. Okay, how do you do that? What should be able to see? See, your vision, okay, is your faith. I said it before. Why? Because your vision is what you actually believe. And I'm talking about your spiritual vision. This is why, you know, you have to see yourself healed before you're going to get healed. Because otherwise it's not going to happen. It's going to go to normal nature. Now, you know, God, in his kindness, put already within us the power to get healed physically, naturally. And that should happen anyway, for some things, depending on some circumstances. But we should not be depending on circumstances. Jesus did not depend on circumstances. Even when he was crucified, he was there in his own decision. He allowed them to do what they were doing.
Amen. Thank you,
When we're trying to throw him down the cliff, he just walked through them. Hello?
Yeah.
So the idea is that, and what did he do? What did he say? I only do what I see my father doing. You see, he saw it before it happened, and so because his faith was operating according to what he saw. We had to learn, we had to develop, we had to grow into the ability to see in the spirit before things that are not normal in the physical. All things are possible to them that believe. That means we have to be able to see things that are not possible in the physical. And we are not just dreaming. Now, you have to see what you have the basis to believe for or not. And that is determined by the word. It's not just everything you think is okay. You know, there has to be consistencies with what you are operating, what you are thinking, what you are, expecting to happen with the word of God. You know, essentially, all the things that he promised that you don't have. There is a contradiction there between the physical and the spiritual. But there is a backing up from his position that he says, I give this to you. Amen. See, this is his grace.
Yes.
God's grace is what he gives to us, what he promised to us.
Amen.
But we have to be able to believe it.
Yes.
See, you are healed or you are just saved by grace through faith. It's ours.
Amen.
We can get to the place in which we can actually see it. And the point is, how are we going to get there? Because, we are always, we have many images within ourselves. And we have to see the way we see things. We had to learn to see the way we see things beyond the physical.
Amen.
To be able to see. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For he as he thinks in his heart, so he see." So he's talking about how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a failure or as a victor? You see yourself as sick or as well? You see yourself as successful or just a failure? Now, you can want to see yourself only in the positive ways, but there's a big difference between wanting and being able to do it. And so the things that we had to, you can be really a nice person. But because of your experience, because of what went on before, because of whatever it is, you cannot believe certain things about yourself that the word of God says. I mean, it says that by his stripes you were healed, for example. Yeah, but most people would say, I'm sick. Well, I'm sorry. Unless you change the way you think, the way you see yourself. Not because you want it that way. You see, your want is not going to be able to do it. It's not a question of wanting. It's a question of what's going on inside you. It's a question of allowing the world to be real more than the physical world to be able to for that to happen. That requires training. This is true for everything. How do you see God? Some people see God as somebody is there ready to smash them as soon as they got off just a little bit. Well, that's what religion did with us. You know, but even some people that are really born again and spirit-filled sometimes believe that to a degree. Well, the word says something interesting. Psalm 18, verse 24 says, "Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness." I mean, according to my righteousness. You know, he's talking about the way we stand before him. Are we in right standing with him or not? That's not a question of, you know, we are not going to be in right standing with him because we do certain things. It's because inside we have been transformed by what Jesus did. But anyway, continue here. This was Old Testament. According to the cleanness of our hands in his sight. That doesn't mean our hands should be necessarily completely clean. Let me continue. With the merciful, With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. But with the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. This is talking about God. God shows ourselves to us the way we are, believing him to be. So if we think that he is there after us, that's the experience you're going to have about God. If we think that he's a good God and a good father and takes care of us, that's the way we are going to experience him. Amen. You see, the way we see things determines our reality. Even God himself, the way we relate to him. So we better got a good image about God. Well, that's why Jesus came. Because he said, "You have seen me, you have seen the Father." Do you see what I'm saying? You see what the implications of this? You know, if we're thinking is wrong, we are going to be in bondage, we are going to be in trouble, and the trouble are generated by us, not by God. Okay, so seeing is believing. Now you can, depending the way you see though. Okay, if you see physically only, then you are going to be depending on the physical thing and you believe the physical things. But you see the things in the spirit, then you are going to believe the things that the word says, because that's the way you get the, and you know the things of the spirit, then you're going to get the results of the word. Can you see the implications of what I'm talking about? I mean, if you read John chapter 20, verse 25 to 29, you know, when Jesus and Thomas were talking together, and Thomas says, you know, "Unless I touch his, you know, his side and I touch his hand," and he says, you know, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." But really, it's not that they have not seen, because to be able to believe, you had to see it. So, but he was talking to fleshy men there. They weren't even filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't even born again yet. So you had to take the scripture and interpret them according to who they were spoken to. You had to see the intention there, because if you take that intention, then you say, you know, you are not seeing, you believe, but you know, sounds easy, but isn't. Praise the Lord. You see what I'm going to get here? See, what do you see? That's my question to you. What do you see? Praise the Lord. The stronger your vision, spiritual vision, the more you are going to be able to manifest it. How do you change the way you see? Well, there are a number of factors that change that. See, the word says, you know, the faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So evidently, you had to have something to change the way you see, and the word becomes an element in which you are going to operate on to be able to change the way you see. See, that produces faith, that means produce beliefs, but a belief, you know, you can hear the word. I mean, you can hear by stripes I will seal, and you know that by heart and everything else, and you heard it and nothing happens. Why? Because you don't see it spiritually. You just, words that don't connect with you. She has to connect with you as a reality more than the other reality that you connect with. That means us to speak to your heart. That means, you know, to get to the place where your heart can see the answer before you get it. Amen. And so just the word by itself is not going to do it. But the word says what we have to do with it. We have to meditate on the word. What is meditating? It's allowing the word to change the way we look at reality. When we start comparing the word with the experience or reality that we have in our life, then we see the things that need to be changed in the way we think. You know, I'm taking a scripture that everybody knows, most of the people anyway. I can use lots of other scripture, but I'm going to give this because everybody knows, and I don't know if really they understand the meaning and the implication of that, which is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of joints and marrow. That means, you know, it's going to really get inside you. And he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. You see, what does it do? What does it mean, he's a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart? You know, you, the word says, by your stripes you are healed. But your heart really doesn't see you healed. So there is a conflict right there. So there is something, you see, the word is pointing out something that needs to be changed. And that applies, you know, I'm using healing because it's the easiest thing, you know, that when you get the results, it's physically you can see it. I mean, you know, if you are sick and you can walk and suddenly you can start walking, it's no problem. Okay? But the point is, you have to be able to see that before it happens. And when there is a discrepancy between the word of God in one side and what you see yourself, forget about trying to agree with it or not. See, agreeing mentally doesn't do anything. It has to be a spiritual reality in you. It should be at the heart level. See, the heart level is where things happen, not in the mind. And when you start seeing yourself strong and well, and when you are sick and weak, let the weak say, I am strong. But it's not just a question of saying it. You know, you can say it at the beginning just to see the way you had to think, but it's not going to produce it. It's when you actually see it yourself that it's going to happen. So there is a process there that we don't have to have the time to go through today. It takes too long. You see, you can't say these things and quickly, boom, you know, if I say even more, you won't get it anyway. Are you following me? See, at least follow me to where I got it up to now. Okay, we'll talk more about it. Okay, the idea is, this is why I hate to, you know, one can change topic from week to week because there is takes longer to get into a topic than just 3/4 hour, 1 hour, even 2 hours. You need the time to absorb it, time to start applying it, and start to, you know, see the impact. You know, you had to meditate on the things that has to be changed to allow the things, the change to happen. See, the word speaks too much, so much about that, about how to meditate. And our meditation, our Christian meditation, is not the same as Oriental meditation. It's completely different. It's the opposite, because they try to go blank. So you open up to spirit, any stupid things come to you. What you need instead is to be focused. You see, the vision you have, even if it's not materialized, but you know where you have to, what your vision has to be. If you want to walk in divine health, you have to, their vision is by stripes. I am healed. Hallelujah. Even if one day you don't feel too much healed, but you see yourself healed. Are you following me? I mean, if you understand these principles, you start to walk in victory. There is no other way. There is nothing. I mean, doesn't matter. You know, God loves you even if you don't get results. The thing is, He loves you so much that He wants you to get results. Okay? He wants you to break through. He wants you to have victory in your life. Jesus got victory. I mean, He went through what He went through and after demonstrated His victory. We had to demonstrate our victory to the enemy. Not focusing on him. See, that's not the way to win. The way, see, if you are sick, you don't focus on your sickness. You focus on the Holy Spirit power that is quickened Jesus from the life, from death to life, you know, after 3 days. You know, what? No matter how sick you are. I mean, the 3 days means decomposition. You have to put the body together again and put life in it. It's more than just readjust some of the parameters and get you working again. Hello?
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
So that power is so many times the word says is working inside you to quicken what? Your mortal body. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think we can close for today. We are a good place to stop. And we'll continue when we are back. Amen? And we're going to talk more about meditation and now what the word says about it so that we can actually get into it. Because that's something that we had to do. And, you know, we can do it the wrong way and the right way. You know, we can be wasting our time too doing that if we don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. Let's have a confession. You know, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Okay, so I believe always in ending with confessing the word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the victory that Jesus conquered for us. I thank you that that victory is my victory, and the Holy Spirit is within me and is working in me to guide me in all truth, to deliver great power in my life, to give me all the promises that you have promised us. Thank you for your word that makes me able to receive all the things that are mine. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.